This is Like It Is.
I'm Bob Franklin, and my guest is Jeff Stiegel.
Yes, sir.
With Feed My Sheep. Why did Jesus tell Peter in John 21, chapter 15 through 17, feed my sheep? And I believe, and I'm just assuming, that your particular title of your organization has something to do with that, some biblical in nature?
Well, really, kind of good. We're not going to just tiptoe into this deal. We're going to get right on into the deal.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I appreciate that, Dr. Franklin. As a matter of fact, you are correct. And we know, well, the story is such, we know Peter had a difficult night before in a time where he had not made his best choices for Christ, and Christ came and asked him some questions. He said, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And do you love me? Well, then feed my sheep. And Peter ultimately said, well, you know I love you. And so, yes, our response is out of that text. It's also out of the text where God came and Jesus said to the people, I came and I was hungry and you fed me. And I was without clothes and you clothed me. I was in jail and you visited me. And the people will ask and they will say, when did we ever see you hungry? When did we ever see you this? And then Jesus responds to them. He says, whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers, you did unto me. And so those two are together, or if you wanted to say, what we strive to be is that, is feeding the hunger in the world that we face in East Temple is where we are at.
I think that's very good and well stated. Tell us a bit more about how did Feed My Sheep start? I think you said it started 2010?
Yeah, 2010. Interesting story. I'll give you the brief version of this. You know what? Feed My Sheep started in 20, let's say 9 to 10. It officially started in 10. Back in those time frame, can't deny it, the city of Temple, there was a homeless shelter in Temple called Martha's Kitchen. Martha's Kitchen. We won't go into politics or anything like that. It's neither here nor there at this juncture. People in the positions of power decided it was time for the homeless kitchen and facility to be shut down, and it was the only one of such in Temple, and it got shut down. So that occurred. And how Feed My Sheep came to being is simply this. One lady read an article in the paper, the Temple paper, and they wrote an article about Feed My Sheep is no more and this and that. Okay. She read the article and she made one logical sentence in her head. She says, what are those people going to eat today? This one person had no intention to start anything. She had no intention to do anything. She had no intention of even knowing what Feed My Sheep was. She simply drove to the parking lot of what Martha's Kitchen, the feeding facility, was. She went there at lunch on one Sunday. At lunchtime, she had enough bread and sandwich meat in the trunk of her car in an ice chest, and she served 150 sandwiches. She had such an experience there. She told everybody, she said, you know what, I'm going to be back next Sunday. And she showed back up next Sunday. One thing led to another. She told somebody in her Bible study, she said, hey, I went out and I brought sandwiches to some people, and a lady in her Bible study said, you know what, I can go on Saturdays, and then we can do 2 days out of the week. Long story short, then some of us got involved, and we said, you know what? If we could get seven churches to be a church, then we could feed every day of the week. And then if we could get 30 churches to be a church, then we could feed every day out of the month. That logical progression. So Feed My Sheep started because one individual lady simply said, what are they going to eat today? And then others made the logical jump of, man, if we could just get 30. And I will tell you, we're now in 2023. The calendar we have each day has not changed. So how we function is like my family. I work at Feed My Sheep, but I know my family, the fourth Sunday of every month, I am responsible for the meal and the sack lunch. Every day of the month has a different individual, church, or social group that provides the meal every day.
So pretty much one person can make a difference.
Agreed. That's what we are all about, is that individual people hearing the individual cries of other people can make a difference. Sometimes we complicate all of this stuff and too much and think, man, the scope of the hunger issue and the homeless issue in Central Texas is too big. I can't do anything about it. That's not true. You can help a person. And if each individual person realizes their ability to impact other people, the world changes in profound ways that we can't even understand. And we stall ourselves to going, oh, it's too big an issue. It's too big a problem. It's not. It's individuals caring about individuals and noticing that they exist. That's her first deal. She made the first deal. She acknowledged need and acknowledged that, hey, I got to do something.
You know, sometimes homeless people and poor people are viewed as invisible.
Okay, agreed. So another thing that we have, I would agree with you totally. Okay, so, and I just had a discussion yesterday. I would tell you, and I could be completely wrong, so this is Jeff's opinion, so they can be discounted. I am not an expert on anything. Okay, in the community I serve, which is the marginalized, it is the impoverished, it is the homeless, I think the number one thing that they are suffering from is loss of community, loneliness, and a feeling of invisibility, that nobody even knows that they're alive or dead, and that they don't even, like I had one discussion yesterday, somebody told me, you know what, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to do this and nobody will know if I'm alive or dead or not, I don't even really exist. And you're true. And so like what we would say at Feed My Sheep, we do in the winter, we do individual stories. So what I would say is we have a campaign that we call the Invisible Campaign, which is simply to get people to notice other people's story. And so what I would say, you cannot be invisible if you are seen. It's simple as that. You can't be invisible. You are not invisible if somebody sees you and know you exist. You are not invisible. So you're right on that one, spot on.
I want to have you share with our audience this art show that you've held, Through My Eyes. Tell us about Through My Eyes, and for those who may not have the privilege of being able to visit the community of Temple, Texas, express, in your view, visualize for us what the community of Temple, Texas looks like that other communities can't at this time see.
Well, you know what? I might would say that every community, the idea of the art show is simply this, is I believe that people are divinely created and they are beautiful. And we do not take time to look at that. So what we did last year is I'm all about, and I even take it even a step further, I believe that people's eyes are magnificent. And if you take the time to look in people's eyes, their story and all that occurs. So I thought, what a magnificent deal last year is let's get people in the community to look at other people and to find beautiful things that they saw in other people. So for me, the art show, the exhibit of what people saw is beautiful. That is worth seeing. For me, the real art show occurs in this juncture right now. When we're talking and saying sentences about, hey, how about everybody go look in your community and see what beautiful things are out there, and they're called people. And so for me, the beautiful thing occurs on this art show is, yes, to see the exhibit, and that in itself is the art show, is that we have photographs of people that people would not normally stop and even care to give the time of day to, but yet they are displayed like pieces of art, and they are. And then you have people from the community that wouldn't normally come see these people that are coming out of their way, and they are mingling. And so this interaction of people that would, I don't like these words, but people that would say, oh, I am affluent, and these that are not affluent, they mingle and commingle in one place together, and it makes beautiful sense. So for me, the art show is that moment, and then this moment right now, from now leading up to, of people looking for, the criteria is you must take a piece of art of another individual human being and articulate or put a narrative on it why you found this beautiful.
It's interesting you describe your community as one that obviously is diverse, comprised of all different types of individuals. Speak a bit about the importance in your view of diverse in a diverse community as Temple, Texas is or is becoming.
Yeah, agreed. That is, Wow. In our world right now, we're not going to head off on anything, but that is such a misused word, possibly, but it our community that we are in, it is accurate to say it is very diverse. There are people from all over the map and all kind of different backgrounds and all kind of different stories and all kind of different hurts, hardships, and joys that come together. And then out of that, even more simplified of that, is not just the diversity of our community, but to acknowledge we are all part of the same community. And that we have, when we make that sentence, to say, you know what? We are all part of this community. And now I may define mine as Temple, Texas. That is the community that I'm in. I may define it as such like that. But the minute I acknowledge this is part of my community, I have an obligation to all in my community. And I have a responsibility to all. And I have an acknowledgement and a worth because everybody is part of our community. And so community is our. You know, like if I have my town, oh, this is my town. Oh, you're not from my town. That's not community. And diversity is not accepted in much in that world. Community is that a belonging. Everybody needs to belong, and we have an obligation. So I'd agree. Diversity is huge.
And it does add, I don't want to assume anything, but it does add diverse individuals with diverse backgrounds. Add some degree of social and human capital to the community and to Temple, Texas.
Agreed. And I would say, first and foremost, Temple will not be worth anything without the diversity and the complexity of the community that we're in. That is one of our strengths. We have an unbelievably strong community that is all over the map. That's its strength and its beauty, and that's why it is strong.
So a counter or pushback to that is I don't want to say fear, but there's a pushback against diversity, that it's a bad word of sorts. Right. Speak to that. Do you see it as something that's negative, that's not beneficial to the community?
Man, you're going to get me in trouble here.
Not okay. Really.
So ready. I cannot. It frustrates me to no end. Because the word in of itself is a truth. It is a very diverse community. We sit in this room. We may have physical characteristics that look the same, but we are very diverse. We are very different. We're not supposed to be the same. That is diversity in of its inmost self. So there is so much pushback on we've defined the word to make it a political statement of such. And I'm not defining that. I'm defining it as diversity is embracing the differences that we all have and the truths that lie within that. And so in it, and I can't stand the fact that I even flinch on saying a word that should not be the word, and that should not be the world that we live in, that you're going, oh, man, is it all right to say? That's ridiculous because we are all different. And so that is a beautiful thing. And I would tell anybody who would disagree, I would say, come grab me one day up at Feed My Sheep and let's just sit together and let's serve.
So seeing is believing.
Seeing is believing. And to realize the only thing we're not diverse on is that we are all human beings and we are of worth. We share that singular truth. The diversity of our differences is not what separates. What joins us is our common humanity and our beauty and worth. I would say in that, if you said, are we diverse on that? Not at all. There is no diversity in our worth and our value. That is incorrect statement. We are different as human beings in how we live life.
I'm Bob Franklin. The program is Like It Is. My guest is Jeff Stiegel of Feed My Sheep. And Jeff, I want to talk a bit about, and I really like the fact that the organization is steeped in biblical strength, let me put it that way. How do you feed the individuals that come to your organization? How do you feed them spiritually?
Okay, good. That is an excellent question, because here's what I would tell you, Dr. Franklin, is our mission. So if you said, Jeff, what is the mission of Feed My Sheep? I would say to feed those that are hungry physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And I would take that a step further. I would say every person that comes to Feed My Sheep, whether they are a volunteer who thinks they have abundance or whether they are on the other side of the line who are searching for the only meal they're going to eat today, I will say that everybody, and me, myself included, I come to feed my sheep because I am hungry and starving to death. And the only thing that can sustain me and actually fill me in life is not the meal I'm going to serve that day. That will sustain for that day. It is the truth that God is who he said he is, or that the life, the bread of life, is God. That is our only hope in this world. That is the only truth that can sustain us. So that's the bigger picture. Now, on a smaller scale, so how do we sustain the spiritual hunger? We have Bible studies every day. So every day we have volunteers to come up and do Bible study. We have a women's center that's associated with Feed My Sheep right next door. So they're at the same location that we do Bible studies and mentoring solely for women. We have a men's facility that we do the same thing. So the spiritual aspect is paramount. So the spiritual food that we give is what is going to change lives.
I'm interested to know, I worked in Omaha, Nebraska, and I had a class, and we dealt with a radio production class, and my students had really hadn't experienced what it meant to be homelessness and hungry. And so I gave them an assignment to go out and to really do reporting on homeless individuals during the crucial winter months in Omaha, Nebraska. It's really, really cold there. My students ran across veterans, and I'm curious to know how, if you've ever had in Feed My Sheep veterans who have served this country and have been hungry, and you've had opportunity to feed them, help them feed, become fed, and how did it make you feel when you observed the homeless veterans and the fact that you were able to help them get a meal?
Wow, that's a loaded question. So do we have, I would say, today at Feed My Sheep, I would hate to tell you percentages. I can start naming them in my head of veterans that have served our country that will be in the line. They're there every day. So it makes me feel twofold. I'm glad that we can provide a service to somebody. B, a little bit frustrated because there's so many avenues that are out there to help our veteran community, that they can go. Now, there's things that occur. I get this different stuff. So, like, I see a veteran, my first sentence is, man, let's go talk to so-and-so at the VA. There's so many different ways to get you out of this situation. You're suffering from addiction? Guess what? The VA system has ways to get you out of that. So in it, there's twofold. I will say not frustration would be the word. There is ways out. Now, I get a lot of the veterans, when you really start looking at it, that come to my world. A lot of them have maybe left the service with a dishonorable discharge, so some of the avenues are not there for them anymore. But for anyone that served our country, and they're in the line, I guarantee today we will have, I can only speak on our place, I will promise you 25% to 30% of the population that will come through will be veterans.
In Bell County, reading from your advertisement, in Bell County, tens of thousands of people live every day below the poverty line. This means your organization won't be able to make ends meet or sustain basic amenities such as housing, groceries, health care, and more. And I'm curious to know, do you envision your organization's challenge to be more spiritual or economical?
That's a really good question. And for somebody, so I understand the business answer I should give. It's economics. I understand that. But I would tell you that's not the answer I'm going to give you. I'm going to tell you the answer is, because I do have a faith, I believe the answer is our business is spiritual. The more we are true to the little that God entrusts us to, He will provide for us. If we are not staying true to what he asks us to do, then God will shut us down and our economics will run out. If I turn to the other model, which would work, which is I need to go solicit money, then because I need money, which we do need. I mean, like this world, that's what, but then I think ultimately, if I do believe the faith principle, which I do, ultimately God's going to say, Jeff, you're losing focus on what you're about. Feed my sheep is about the people. Take care of the people. I'll take care of you. And so I get it. And anybody listening out there, if there's a business person listening to that, they ought to go, Jeff, man, you're off in the head. No, go get all these. You can get this money and this money and this federal money and this. I don't do it. Don't do it. I don't have federal money because there's rules that come with it. And I don't want those rules to dictate what I can do spiritually. Is it going to hurt us financially? Oh, yeah. But it hasn't yet. Like, so nobody in it and in the world, so straight economics to go on that. You and I can both look. The cost of groceries and everything, the cost of doing business is growing exponentially for us. And so our cost of doing business is increasing as we speak, and the number of people that are coming in and needing our services is increasing exponentially, and the amount of disposable income that people have to donate to an organization like us is decreasing. That's bad math.
But are you optimistic that the support, financial, spiritual support, will continue?
You know what? I am 100% certain that God is God. And I live in that truth. I am optimistic, and I do believe all that we are about. I believe in the goodness and the humanity that lies within people, that they want to believe in good and they want to do good for this world. Sometimes they don't know how. Sometimes it seems big. So do I believe in the goodness of people? Yes. Do I believe if we stay true to what we're doing to the individual people in our area, that are they going to support that? Yes.
I want to read another note from your flyer here. It goes, at Feed My Sheep, instead of simply treating the symptoms of poverty over and over, we see and get to know people. What are the symptoms in your view of poverty?
Yeah, well, I would say, number one, we've already mentioned loneliness and feeling unincluded, feeling trapped. Because we have a magic system in our society. You can trap people in an area economically where I don't feel like I can get out of this. There's such a ways. Another thing is when you are really, really, I joke about this, when you are really, really poor and economically, it is very, 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 very expensive to become homeless. If that makes any sense, you know, if you don't have a place to stay, let's say life comes crumbling in and I lost my job and I lost a place to stay and I'm staying in the car. Okay, guess what? There is no shelter right now in Temple. I don't have a place to stay. Let's pretend I want to keep my job. So I'm keeping my job. I don't have any place to go take a shower or anything like that. Okay, it's expensive. So then I got a family and I've got a kids and I got to have a place for them to stay. Only place I got is a hotel room. So you're paying $70 a night to stay in a hotel room and you're working by the hour and you don't get paid but every 2 weeks. How do you do that? So then they make choices and you're like, well, okay, man, I just need some money. So then, oh, these title loans, oh, that looks like a great idea because I need money for my family. So you do that and then you're caught in this terrible web of I can't get out. Credit cards, all of it, it's so expensive and difficult. People think it's very easy. Like I'm not oversimplifying it, but people would say, oh, man, if they would just get a job and then if they would just work, there's so many more things. The more I get into it, there's so many more things involved that go into this situation than simply go to work. It's dope.
So I'm interested in having you share with our audience a success story. Have you seen someone who came to the feed my sheep and benefits so tremendously and has a great story to tell?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. Well, yes, numerous. We have, I won't say his name. I have one, a young guy, let's say Michael. Nobody, I mean, that doesn't matter. That is his name. But Michael. Michael's been coming to feed my sheep for quite a while. And month and a half ago, I got Michael, with the help of CCS, to agree to go get some real help. In the city of Temple, they have some finances available to help people that are homeless, that want to get out of addiction. They have a program. They'll scholarship them to go get help. All of that to say, Michael Justice agreed to do it. When I brought him in, he was in a bad place, in a very, very bad place. I went and saw him yesterday, and it was night and day of the story and the smile, and what he was saying in the clarity. Like, you see Michael, where he is now clean. He is clean right now. He's got people supporting him. He is back working. I mean, like, he's back working, and to see him smile and to know he's on medication with CCS, like, you're going, it's doable. And like, on him to just see the smile and the joy. And he came from the place where he is at rehabilitation right now. They were allowed him to come over and to see me and just to say hi. He just wanted to come and say, look how good I'm doing.
How did that make you feel?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So two things. You go, man, that's so good to see that smile on Michael and to see his eyes, like the person had returned in him. That, so that you're going, man, that's such joy. And I'm one to a fault. Then it also made me feel on the other side, okay, we got a lot more work to do. We got a lot more work to do because we ain't done with just Michael. Because guess what? There's another Michael out there, and there's a Corey, and there is a lot of people right there, and we're going to keep swinging.
And we can also say that there's Jeff Stego, who is Feed My Sheep, a representative, so passionate. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you very much for having me, Dr. Franklin. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.